For our Bible readings, we're going to turn, first of all, to page 205 in our church Bibles. Page 205. I'm going to begin reading at verse 14 in Deuteronomy chapter 29, page 205. And we shall read through to the end of the chapter. Page 205, Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 14. Let us hear God's word together. It is not with you alone that I am making this sworn covenant, but with whoever is standing here with us today before the Lord our God, and with whoever is not here with us today. You know how we lived in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you passed. And you have seen their detestable things, their idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold, which were among them. Beware, lest there be among you a man or a woman or a clan or a tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware, lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. The Lord will not be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man, and the curses written in this book will settle upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. The Lord will single him out from all the tribes of Israel for calamity, in accordance with all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the law. And the next generation, your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land, will say when they see the affliction of that land and the sickness with which the Lord has made it sick, the whole land burned out with brimstone and salt, nothing sown, nothing growing, where no plant can sprout, an overthrow like that of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and wrath, all the nations will say, why has the Lord done thus to this land? What caused the heat of his anger, of his great anger? Then people will say, it is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, and went and served other gods, and worshipped them, gods whom they had not known, and whom he had not allotted to them. Therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, bringing upon it all the curses written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and fury and great wrath, and cast them into another land, as they are this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're now going to turn to page 1033, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 22. Luke 2 and verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, that is Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb should be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. Coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him and speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favour of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We want to turn, please, to page 205.
At least I think it's page 205, it might be 206. Anyway, it's the closing words of Deuteronomy chapter 29 that we are considering together this afternoon. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, how we thank you that in your purposes and plans, you have given to us your word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Bless us now, dear Lord, we pray, as we meditate upon your truth. Grant that we might grow in understanding. Grant that we would grow in greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant, Lord, that we would be those who prove to be yet more fruitful and faithful servants in his service, for his name's sake. Amen. I think there's something quite apposite about looking at the closing words of Deuteronomy chapter 29 on New Year's Eve. What do we read in that verse? Well, we read that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. This verse, let me remind you, or inform you, is the last verse of Deuteronomy chapter 29. What is the theme of Deuteronomy 29? Well, in that chapter we see Moses encouraging, leading the people of God of his generation to renew their commitment to God. They're called to renew the covenant that God made with them in days past. Yes, they were very much aware that it was God who brought them out of Egypt. And they were very much aware that it was God who led them from Egypt to Sinai. And they were aware that there at Sinai, God gave his word through Moses. And they were aware that they had then moved on from Sinai toward the land of promise. But because of their unfaithfulness, their disobedience, their lack of trust, their lack of love for the Lord, they had spent longer in the years of wilderness wanderings than had really been necessary. But here they are now, 40 years later, and they're about to enter the land of promise. And Moses is used of God to call them to recommit themselves to the Lord. And then he is used of God to conclude that recommitment process, if I may put it that way, by reminding them, by informing them, by calling upon them to remember that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Now, why? Why did God call Moses to remind, to inform these people of the facts that are spelled out here in this verse? Well, I'm going to suggest that there were two reasons. I'm going to suggest, first and foremost, they hear these words through the servant of God because they are a people who are called to submit themselves to God. And secondly, they are called to hear these words because they are a people who are called to seek to understand the things of God. And those two things are features of true believers. And I say we do well to remind ourselves of that at the end of this year, 2017, and as we step out, God willing, tomorrow into the new year of 2018. Yes, we should be asking ourselves, am I a person who humbles himself before God? And am I a person who is seeking to be faithful and true to God at all times? Now, verse 29 of Deuteronomy 29 begins with a statement. And the statement is that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Well, do I hear you asking, what does he mean by the secret things? And why is he saying that they are things that belong to the Lord our God? What the people of God were being reminded of as they prepared to enter the land of promise, as they prepared to cross the Jordan and deal with the peoples, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, the Hivites and the Hittites, etc., who occupied that land according to the purpose and plan of God. These people are being called upon to remember that God is above and beyond them, that it's only God who knows all things. One of the great truths concerning God that we affirm is that he is omniscient. That's the word that we can use. You remember, there's a number of words derived from the Latin that speak of God being superior above all. He's the omnipotent one. He's the all-powerful one. He is the all-knowing one, the omniscient one. Well, that's what they're being reminded of here. We live in a world where we find ourselves from time to time, regularly, asking questions. Nothing wrong with asking questions. But as we ask questions, we need to examine the attitude that we're adopting as we seek to see answers to the questions that we ask. Are we coming to the questions with the resolution in our minds, in our hearts, then we're not going to be satisfied unless we get an answer to the question or questions that we have. Now, it is possible to approach things in that sort of way, isn't it? But this text of Scripture warns us to be very careful. We are not omniscient. We do not know everything. And we shall not know everything. We are finite. We have limited understandings. And we have to recognize that that is our position before Almighty God. The nature of sin is that it seeks to dethrone God. It seeks to push him aside and put ourselves in his place. That's why mankind in his fallen state is at enmity with God. He doesn't want to submit to Almighty God. He wants to do things his way. Yes, we can often hear those words of that Frank Sinatra song, "I did it my way." And you and I can often observe people glorying in the fact that they did it their way. It speaks of the pride of man. It speaks of man's desire to be independent
of God. But we are never called. No one is ever called to be independent of him. Indeed, it is impossible, ultimately, to be independent of him, because we'll all stand before his judgment seat. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ one day. And we will realize God's on the throne. Yes, we do indeed live in a moral universe. A universe where, in which what we do is important, because we're answerable to God for what we think and say and do. So we are called to remember our finiteness. And we're called to remember that God alone is the one who knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. We don't. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God does. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives, let alone the lives of any other individual tomorrow. But God does. We don't know what's happening on the other side of the world at this very point in time. But God does. He knows all things. Now, God is the God who has spoken. That is clearly implied in these words of this verse, and especially in the second statement that we have within the verse. Yes, we've got the statement, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, at the beginning of the verse, but in the second part of the verse, we've got, but the things that are revealed belong to us. Now, I want you to notice the use of the word revealed, because that is telling us that some things have been made known to mankind. And we can find ourselves asking the question, well, what has been made known to mankind? Well, let's think about the context in which we find these words. What have we read immediately before these words? Well, we've read, haven't we, that those who are disobedient to the will of God will be those who come under the displeasure of God. God will act and deal with them. You remember that we're taught in this very book of Scripture that there are blessings that are lavished upon the obedient, and there are the curses of God that are pronounced upon the disobedient. And we read here that a time may come, and we know sadly that it did come, in the nation of Israel's history, that the land was left devastated, and people, even from nations around about, would be asking the question, why? Why has this happened? And they would be able to answer the question, it's because these people, verse 25, abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers. God made known his will to his people long, long ago. And God has caused what he made known to his people long ago to be recorded for our instruction and learning, as well as for the instruction and learning of those people and the succeeding generations. So there are things that God has made known to mankind. There are things that have been revealed. And the people of Israel would say, well, we are those who at Sinai received the law. We were those who at Sinai heard stated the 10 great moral principles that God has made mankind everywhere, in every generation, to live by. We call them the 10 commandments. But they would also be able to go on and say, we also know that God made known to us
principles concerning how we are to worship him. There was the Aaronical priesthood established in those days. There was the whole sacrificial system. And it was all pointing them to and teaching them great truths about God. God revealed that to his people through Moses. The revealed things belong to us, is what the second part of this verse says. But not just to us, to our children as well. Because in the purposes and plans of God, it is the case that parents are to train up their children, teach their children the things of the Lord. But what is a parent? What are parents teaching their children? They're not teaching their children, we trust, their own notions and ideas. Unbelievers do that. But believers don't. They teach their children that which God has revealed. You see, here's a great anchor point for us. We live in a world which is full of uncertainties. We live in a world where lots of people are asking questions. We live in a world where people are, in every generation, challenging what's been received from the previous generation. Does that mean that there's no anchor points? Does that mean that everything is always in a state of fluidity and flux? No, it doesn't. God has revealed his will to his people. And his people know that what God has revealed to them belongs to them. That's the language that we find used in this verse. The secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. And so these people, as they prepare to go into the land of promise, are to remind themselves that they are to submit themselves to this God, to the only God who is, the God who has spoken, the God who has rescued them and saved them, the God who is providing for them day by day, the God who has given to them the terms of the covenant by which they are to live. Oh yes, they'll have questions. And they will hear others ask questions. They will even hear unbelievers ask the question, why have these people been brought so low? When they are brought low. And they'll be able to answer the question because God has revealed that the reason why they've been brought low when they are brought low is because they have abandoned the word of God. God has told them his blessing is on the obedient, his curses are on the disobedient. So submitting to God is one great theme that we find speaking to us through the very words of this text of Scripture. And therefore we do well to ask ourselves, what's my attitude before the Lord? Is it to wait upon him? Is it to obey him? Is it to put myself in the position that he would have me put myself under his sovereign lordship? That's what we're called to do. We look back over 2017 and we can think of many, many occasions where we may have set that as our goal, but we fell short of meeting it. Well, we look forward to 2018 and we say to ourselves, may we in the new year, for as long as the Lord spares us, be those who humble ourselves before him. May we be those who recognize that he knows all things, and that though we may be led through many different circumstances in life, and we may find ourselves asking the question, why, repeatedly, even though that may be the case, we ourselves will say, the Lord knows why. The secret things belong to him. If it pleases him to reveal the reason for those things in due time, well, so be it. But if it pleases him not to reveal them, I'll accept that. Let's think of something very practical. We often find ourselves asking the question, don't we, when a loved one dies, where are they now? And we might even ask the question, have they gone to be with the Lord? Or are they separated from him? And you think of those who don't love the Lord or serve the Lord in this life. What happens to them when they die? Now, there are some people, they ask these questions and they get themselves all worked up about them. And there are some people, when they ask these questions and get worked up about them, as it were, say, well, I'm giving up in ever being a person who's numbered amongst the Christians. I can't answer those questions, so that's it. I'm off. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to share with Christian people on a regular basis anymore. I remember meeting a man who thought and spoke very much like that. He'd been a long-distance lorry driver and he'd been in the vicinity of Aberfan back then in the 1960s, when there was that dreadful mudslide that engulfed a school and killed so many people. Couldn't understand why it had happened. And because he couldn't understand why it had happened, he said he'd got no time for God. And that's how he died, as far as I know. There will be many things that you and I do not understand. The secret things belong to the Lord. And we're going to leave them there in his hands, knowing, as Abraham did in his day, that the God of this world will do that which is right, because he's pure, because he's perfect, because he's altogether holy. There is no impurity, no sin that mars the perfection of Almighty God. So we must learn to submit to Almighty God, but we must also learn to search the things that God has revealed. And surely that's implied, especially in the second part of this verse. And we can say that that's clearly implied in the second part of this verse, because how does the verse end? It ends with this statement, that we may do all the words of this law. So the secret things belong to God, but that which is revealed belongs to us so that we may do. You see, you've got to hold that together. What God has revealed has practical consequences. Oh, there are some people who like to think in the abstract, who like to think in theoretical terms about God and the teaching of the Bible, about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done. But the believer is always wanting to ground things in things practical. Oh yes, we can have minds that can seek to explore these things and push the boundaries of our knowledge of these things, as it were. But all of the time we're coming down to, my responsibility is to walk humbly with the Lord my God. And if I ask myself, how am I to walk humbly with the Lord my God? Then the answer to that question is quite clear. According to his revealed will. Oh, there are people who get annoyed at evangelicals. At Bible-believing Christians. Oh, they're always going back to the Bible. They're always rooting things and claiming things from the scriptures. Ah, yes. Because the things that are revealed belong to us. And so we look at what's happening around about us and we say to ourselves, what does God say in his word that applies to this situation? What principles do we find there? Are there any specific texts of scripture that speak directly to the situation in which we find ourselves? Or are there texts of scripture that speak indirectly, by inference, to us on this situation? Some people will tell you, for example, well, there's nothing in the Bible about euthanasia, there's nothing in the Bible about abortion. Well, you may not find a specific text where it talks about euthanasia or a specific text that talks about abortion, but you can find principles in the Bible that teach you and me to respect life and to respect life from conception to the grave. And therefore, we find ourselves saying, we can't have abortion on demand. Because God has told us that we are to honour that life which he forms and fashions in our mother's wombs. And we can't be just going along with the old person who feels that their life is useless because they no longer have the physical ability to do things or the mental ability to grasp what's happening around about them. No, 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 we say, God is the giver of life. And the Lord who gives is the Lord who will take in his appointed time. And we may be struggling to understand why our loved one is growing so weak and frail in body or mind or both. But the secret things belong to the Lord our God. We rely on that which is revealed and we do it. Because God would have us live according to his law. Not to earn salvation, because that's impossible. Nowhere in the Bible do we ever find that the way of salvation is by works. It is always by grace, by faith. But the man, the woman or child who's on the receiving end of God's amazing grace is the person who lives for God. He does good works. God will have a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Well, that's what the Lord wants these people to be as they go into the land of promise. Moses, get them ready. You're not going into the land of promise. Get them ready. Let them now renew the covenant. And as they go into that land, recommitted to God, let them know the secret things belong to the Lord and that which is revealed belongs to the Lord, belongs to the Lord's children and to their children. And notice those two words in our translation. Forever. Forever. You see, the word of the Lord stands and the word of the Lord continues to stand. That's why you and I can say to those people who want to reinterpret the Bible, who want to reinterpret sexual ethics, you're wrong. God's word stands. God's word stands forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Well, that must be the case, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God isn't going to say one thing there, which he then contradicts and says, well, we can forget all about that. It's the same principles that God is laying before us. I am the Lord your God, and I am the God who saves sinners by grace. It's what I purposed and planned to do in eternity, for I knew the end from the beginning. You and I may struggle to understand why God made mankind, whom he knew would rebel against him and fall into sin. Oh, people have asked that question, haven't they? Time without number, down the years. And of course, the answer to the question is, we're not robots, we're people made in God's image. And so Adam and Eve were made as those who were able not to sin. But they chose to sin. And since they chose to sin, they are not able not to sin. But the believer, the man, the woman, or child who is born again of God's Spirit, is now a person who is able not to sin. Not in his or her own strength, but in the power of God's Spirit. And the day is coming when believers will be in the presence of the Lord and they shall never sin. Because they'll be like Christ and they will be loving him and rejoicing in him and delighting in the ways of the Lord at all times. Well, it seems to me this is a very appropriate portion of Scripture for us to consider on a New Year's Eve. May God grant us great comfort in our hearts as we recognize he knows everything. And I and all his people can put our trust in him. We can wait upon him. We can rest on him, reassured that he'll do what's right. And we, in the meantime, we're going to search the scriptures. We're going to seek to understand the word of God, and we're going to seek to apply it to our own lives. That's why God's people each day want to meet with the Lord. That's why they want to read the scriptures or have the scriptures read to them. That's why they want to regularly meet with God's people, because they know that the things that reveal belong to them and to their children forever, so that they may do them. Well, if they're not seeking to understand what God has revealed, don't be surprised if they don't do them, and don't therefore be surprised if they don't come under the curse of Almighty God for their disobedience and unfaithfulness to him. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, how we thank and praise you for who you are and for what you have revealed to mankind. How we thank you for the way you dealt with your people in the wilderness all those years ago, after those years of wanderings, and prepared to lead them into the new heaven, into the new land of promise that you had prepared for them. And Lord, we thank you that you have brought us from darkness into your glorious light. And we thank you, Lord, that you have prepared for us a place in heaven above. Help us as we walk the pilgrim way in this age. Help us, Lord, we pray and beseech of you, to know that the secret things belong to you, and that which you've revealed belongs to us and belongs to your people in a special way. For we know, Lord, that unbelievers do not understand your revealed will, but by your grace, believers do. And oh, Lord, how we thank you that as we walk with you according to your word, we find and know and experience your blessing upon us. May we know more and more of your blessing upon us in 2018, we beseech of you, as we ask for forgiveness for our failings of 2017. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.